Now, last week, if you remember, we had looked at a broad passage which ended up with the previous week, which was 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. I've dropped verse 2 off there. And since, therefore, Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking. In other words, the point that we have been driving at, the point that I believe Peter is making in this portion of his letter is this: put on Christ's attitude as you go about life. I don't care what area of life you are in, think Christ-like. We looked last week at a broad section of Scripture, and we saw how Peter is speaking to those of us who are living in the world, those of us who are citizens to a hostile government, those of us who are servants in less than stellar work situation, those of us who are in husbands or wives, those who are suffering. All of these contexts Peter is addressing, and he summarizes and he says, have the same attitude as Christ when you deal with these things, because God's placed you there. That's the gist of the previous 2 weeks. And last week, if you remember, we talked about if we want to have Christ's attitude, there's a helpful acronym, BLESS. And I introduced that to you, and we're going to slow down and we're going to look at each of the elements of the acronym because I find it is helpful for me to think about who am I because of what Christ has done. That's a fancy way of saying what? Who am I in Christ? My identity in Christ. And so what are the implications? How should I then live? Isn't that really what we're supposed to be doing as believers? And these BLESS rhythms, B-L-E-S-S, is a helpful acronym to think through. How do I do this? BLESS. We intentionally bless others through serving, encouraging, giving, and thinking of those around us. We don't just focus on ourselves. Because of Christ, I can focus on others. He set me free to do that, to be a blessing as He was a blessing to me. Remember Abraham? What was the first covenant that was given to him? Genesis 12. I will bless those who bless you. Through you, you will be a blessing to the nations. You ever realize, what's Paul saying? Romans? Are you a child of Abraham? Yeah, I think you'll find Romans 4, Romans 9. You're a child of Abraham if you have faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what he says? So you are a descendant of Abraham, and you are a very means God is going to use to bless others. That changes the way I view my Christian walk, doesn't it? Listen, we'll look at this next week. God was faithful, and He hears our cries. And so now we get the privilege of listening intentionally to other people through the questions we ask, through focusing on them, and being attentive to their story so we can connect them back to God's ultimate story and help them understand why God sent Jesus Christ. So listening is an important rhythm that we need to be involved in. Eating, God's story, think about it. Wedding Supper of the Lamb, it ends with a really big party. You ever thought that when we looked at the beginning of Genesis, Adam and Eve are placed in a garden and they are told, enjoy everything that's here. There's only one tree you can't have. Otherwise, enjoy it. And they rebelled and chose not to follow God. And so we now, by the very act of you and I eating, you're acknowledging, I cannot continue to live without sustenance. Something from outside of myself. And so by the very act of eating, you are acknowledging that you are created as a dependent being. You ever thought about that? And think about what that means when you share a meal with another person. You together are basically an act of worship. I need sustenance, and my God is so good, He has provided me with food. Hence why we often say a blessing before we eat our meal, because God is blessing us. Speaking. We intentionally get to speak the truths of Jesus Christ. We get to proclaim the gospel. We get to proclaim the greatest news ever given. Good news. Gospel. That's what the word gospel means. It's good news. This is great news. And so we can speak that truth, and we need to be fluent and able to speak the good news in every situation of life. We don't have to depend. Nothing wrong with those, but we don't have to depend on, oh, do I remember the four spiritual laws or do I remember the Romans Road? No, simply point them to God and what He has done and the relationship that He intended for us to have with Him and how the fall separated and how Jesus restores that. That's not complicated, is it? And sometimes we get, oh, I got to have all these things. If that's helpful to you, awesome. But can you speak the truth? And then lastly, God created us for His glory. And so we have been commanded to Adam and Eve. He says, take dominion, rule over, take care of all of these things. And so we also have been created with a Sabbath mentality. God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The commands tell us to rest. And what's our ultimate rest demonstrated? Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, I get to rest now. I was intentionally created to work God's glory. But because of Christ, I can rest in Him, and I can enjoy the fruit of what Jesus, my older brother, has done for me, and I can enjoy the fruit of that. Pass that message on. People look at us. People look at Chick-fil-A and go, ah, what a weird thing. And we get to point back and go, because our God created us to rest. And a Sabbath rest reminds us of that and reminds us of our Creator. And so these are some of the rhythms of life that I'm going to challenge you with, because I think they are driven by the message that Peter is teaching us here, that we are to be living in this world as ambassadors for Christ. And so today we are going to look at the bless portion. What does it mean to bless others? Charles Spurgeon, when he comes to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, in the message on that, he says this, and I give you a direct quote, if you are a Christian and not a missionary, then you are an imposter. Ouch! Think about that. If you are claiming to be a Christian and you are not a missionary, then you are an imposter, according to C.H. Spurgeon. And what an amazing statement. And so as we look at bless today, these rhythms help remind us, this is part of my role as a missionary. We need to each think about, who am I called to reach? Who am I to minister to? And we could go around this room right now, and some of you have Boeing. Some of you have, you know, a government contractor. Some of you have a security firm. Some have construction. All over, these are different spheres of influence that God has called us to reach. And so, how do I live differently because of the gospel? Too many of us, we segment our lives out. We come and we stop on the Sabbath and we worship. We get ready and we come and we worship. And then Sunday night comes, oh, now back to my life. Let me just slap you for a minute. That's not what we're called to do. We are to be about mission all of the time. I am to be living as a result of what Jesus Christ has done for me. I am a blood-bought sinner, whether I go to work, whether I drive a bulldozer, whether I walk security, whatever I do, even as a mama, I am a disciple of Christ who is making other disciples. And so we have this responsibility to carry through with this idea of living our lives for the glory of God. So, when we come to bless, how do I bless others? And the principle that we're looking at with this rhythm is, I will intentionally bless others by serving, encouraging, giving, and thinking of those around me instead of the American way. Because what's the American way? Oh, me, myself, and I. You know, my three favorite people that I meet every morning in the mirror. Now, and so often it's have it your way. That's the attitude of American culture. And instead, because of the gospel, we live differently. We live to be able to bless others as we have been blessed. Jesus gave us a clue to how do we do this. Because I find this hard. I don't know about you, but I get so caught up in doing things or getting things done. And all sometimes, you know, I'm a pastor. Come on, I'm in, you know, full-time Christian ministry. And so all these things I'm doing. No, it's easy to make them a job or easy to make them things I need to get done instead of remembering that I'm a servant of the Almighty One. And I love how Jesus put it. Luke 10:2. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I love this, and I've got it now in my calendar. If you look at my Google calendar, it will pop up. Sorry, Derek, not the Microsoft calendar. I haven't put it in there yet. But at 10:02 every day. Why 10:02? Luke 10:2. Okay, gimmicky, yes. But you know what it does? It reaches out on my phone every day and goes, slap! Mark, do you remember that you need to ask the Spirit to go with you? Because you're a laborer in his harvest. How cool is that? Not difficult. If you got a problem with that, I'm sure there's a technical, that's just one of the young people, and they'll help you get it set on your phone. 10:02 every day, it'll do it. And I'd simply have Luke 10:2 in my phone that it pops up as a notification at 10:02 every day now. And it's amazing how it helps transform my thinking pattern. And it starts me realizing that if I'm going to bless others, I need to start by asking God to go with me. Because God has sent his Spirit to redeem me, and he now sends his Spirit so that I might go on mission for him. And so let's turn to our text today, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, as it relates to blessing. Because a lot of times I forget to bless. And as I was reading through early on and looking at a lot of different commentaries and messages, Spurgeon on 1 Peter 2, 7 did an entire message on just this one verse. I was like, whoa, that's intense. And his whole point was, and he uses it. Now, here's one where I have to apologize for the way the ESV has translated this. I don't often do that with the ESV. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, New King James does a beautiful job on catching it. Therefore, to those of you who believe, he, and if you look at the context, that's Jesus Christ, is precious. NIV puts it, to you who believe, the stone is precious. Look at the context. He talks about the stumbling stone. It's Jesus that he's talking about. ESV puts it, so the honor is for you who believe. The word is there, honor, preciousness. It's the same idea. It's just the decision, and this is the problem when you translate from Greek to English. How do I process this word? Because it's a nominative word. It's sort of in the subject position, this whole idea of being precious or honor or this idea. And so you can see that the translators struggle with it. But the vast majority of English translations, notice how they do it. NASB catches it. This precious value then is for you who believe. That's, I think, the key element for believers. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is precious? Do you recognize that the great salvation you've received is a precious jewel? I think too many of us live our lives for me, myself, and I, and we forget regularly to stop and just simply say, how precious is my Savior? How glorious is he? Because when we do that, when we stop and we say, to those of us who believe Jesus is precious, I now get to bless others. I want them to know how wonderful and amazing and precious my God is. And so that's the heart of the message that is here. To you who believe, Jesus is precious. Now, first off, good old technique in preaching, looking at it. Okay, to you who believe, who is Peter speaking about? He's speaking that there are clearly two groups of people, believers and those who do not yet believe. Okay, all mankind men, women, children, okay, that's mankind, make it politically correct. All people fall into one of two categories. Either they believe or they do not yet believe. And why do I say do not yet believe? What's the scripture tell me? Every knee shall bow and every tongue. They all go and believe. But the question is will it be now? Or too late, well put. You see, everybody is either a believer or not yet a believer. And so what Peter is doing here is he's helping us understand, to those of you who believe, to those of you who have been gifted with a wonderful gift of grace and mercy, that the Almighty God of heaven and earth would look down and decide to save a wretch like you. I still stand amazed at that when I look at my life. Yeah, you know, if I pull back the veil of my heart, it's pretty nasty at times. I'm not going to share that with you. Come on, I want you to love me. But the God of all the universe looks at my heart and he still said, I will save you. I will provide Jesus Christ for you. And so when Peter writes to those of you who believe, we need to remember that there are two types of people. Those who believe and those who do not yet believe. And when we say believe, what do we mean by that? Peter, very clearly, if you look at the context, is talking about spiritual believers. He is not talking like James does. Remember, James writes and he says, even the demons believe there's a God, and they shudder. Do they have belief that Peter's talking about? No. Believing in a historical Jesus. Oh yeah, I believe Jesus was on this earth at some point in time, and he walked among us, and he was a great prophet. That is not the believing that Peter is talking about, is it? No, the belief is that when you are willing to rest your entire relationship, your destiny, upon who Christ Jesus is. He is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb who came for Mark's sin, for Arthur's sin, for my sin. And when I appear before God, I'm not going to say, well, I'm not too bad. No, I'm going to say, I'm a wretch. But I'm with Jesus. He's my righteousness. And I'm here because he's invited me. What an amazing thing. That's true spiritual belief. Look at what Peter writes, 1 Peter chapter 2:2. Like newborn infants, long for that pure spiritual milk so that you might grow up into salvation. If indeed that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You see, the whole section that he's writing here, he's speaking about this wonderful reality of the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, the grace and the mercy that we couldn't get any other way. Verse 4, you come to him a living stone, Jesus, who is rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. And then he reminds us that you yourselves are being built up into this spiritual house. And so that's the whole thing. And so this is not an intellectual knowledge of Jesus. It's a heartfelt willingness to thump yourself into the chair of faith of Jesus and just rest wholeheartedly. To be there, it's like, thank you, God. I know I'm not worthy, but Christ is my worthiness. And it's to rest in that. It's like Paul who cried out. It's like Paul, who cried out in faith, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Notice he didn't say, I know the doctrines that I believed in. No, he's believing in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that he, Jesus Christ, is able to guard until the day what has been entrusted to me. Do you see how Paul is trusting in the reality of Christ? And so please be careful. There's this idea that we can have this intellectual, I acknowledge Jesus. I run into Southern Christians all the time. You know what I'm talking about. I was born in America and I got a Bible in my house and I know about Jesus. So I'm a believer. Makes you no more a believer than walking into a garage makes you a car. It's, will you trust in Christ's work on your behalf? That's what Peter is speaking about. It's a saving belief. And for us, we need to be careful and beware of the substitutes. Because what happens is a lot of us, and I think when the Revelator, John, he writes to the churches, and he writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says, behold, you've lost your first love. They started with Jesus, and then they went on, and I think they started doing other things. Be careful. And we need, as a church, as a people, as believers, to be careful that we don't substitute many good things for Jesus. Now, hear me carefully here, because this can be misconstrued. We need to be careful of elevating the sacraments above Christ himself. You find some churches, they have elevated them to, oh, they are so important. And you know what? Sacraments are, because our Lord and Savior has instituted them. But sacraments are only precious in so much as they point to the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about that. When we come to the bread and the wine at the table, it's not the sacraments that are so special. It's what they point us to, the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And most of us say, yeah, I get that. Some elevate doctrine. We're good at this as Presbyterians sometimes. We love to get all of our, you know, five this and, you know, seven of this and pick it. Doctrine is important, but only so much as it reminds us of what? I'm accepted in the Beloved. That because God loved me enough to send Jesus to redeem me, now I can run and play in the doctrines all day long. But if I have doctrine without Jesus, I've got nothing. It becomes empty. It forgets. I love how Jesus put it. Remember on that road to Emmaus, Luke 24:27? And he showed him in the scriptures how it was all about him. That's Mark's paraphrase of that verse. You go look it up. That's what Jesus did. He goes, I don't care. Where you go in scripture, it's all about me. And Jesus could say that because it is all about him, isn't it? That's the thing. Experience. We have some churches that love all their experiences. But experience cannot replace our union with Christ. The reality that I am only accepted because of Christ, my older brother's work. Experience does not bring me to Christ. Charles Finney, one of the revivalists up in Buffalo, New York, near the end of his life, acknowledged, and he was the chief of creating, you know, all the right music and everything else so that people would come and they would confess Jesus. And he said, I fear that I've created experiences, was the gist of the quote that he wrote. And there's many who are fallen away from him because it was all about experience. You see, there's nothing wrong with experience. If you know Jesus, there will be experiences in your life. I can think of the times that God has stepped in, and it's amazing. But experience is the caboose, not the engine. Jesus is the power, and that must be the key. And so if we want to be people who find that Jesus is precious, let us remember about Jesus. We can use the sacraments, we can use doctrine, we can use experience if and only if they drive us to Jesus Christ. He is the sum of it. Spurgeon put it this way in his message, and I quote, doctrines and sacraments are the planets, but Christ is the sun. The stars of doctrine revolve around Christ as their great primal light. Get to love Him, Jesus, best of all. You see how we keep those things in check. So here's the question. Do you have an appreciation for Jesus, for the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf? Do you often think about what Christ has done for you? And we've talked about this before, but I'm going to keep pressing this doctrine. What has Jesus done for us? Past, present, future. It is helpful. It's wonderful. One of the things I loved about, and you know I have encouraged you to pick up the gospel primer back here, because it comes back and it keeps taking the aspects of the gospel and reminding me of the past, present, and future realities of the gospel in my life. Don't ever stop treasuring those precious jewels. But here's the thing that we need to remember. We need to remember what Christ has done for me in the past. Romans 8:1, therefore, there is now no what? Condemnation. I'm set free for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because of the work of Christ, my sins have been paid for. Not guilty is on my record. How amazing is that? And we could go on and on about verses. And so it's helpful to remember the past cleansing that Christ's work does for me. But there's also the present reality of what Christ has done. He has freed me from the I have to sin. Now it's hard some days because I love to go back to my old habits. My guess is you do too. You love wallowing in it. But you don't know what they made me do. Nobody made you do anything. It was your old sinful nature that reared its ugly head. You see, what I have to remember is that Christ's work on the cross has freed me from the power of sin. I love how Paul puts it in Romans 7:4. Not a popular verse that we use, but I love the way he writes this. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you now belong to another, to him, Jesus Christ, who has been raised from the dead. And then I love this last phrase, in order that you may bear fruit for God. Why was I saved? To be set free from the have to sin, so now I get to live for God. How cool is that? I'm free from the chains of the have to sin. I get to live for him. He's entrusted me with the ability to glorify him. How cool is that? And then thirdly, Christ has guaranteed our future. Okay, a lot of us are getting older. We're getting closer and closer to that day than, you know, the bell's going to gong. Don't smile like that, David. We all know our time's coming. That's a fact, unless Christ returns first. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. But think about what he has told us. Because of Jesus, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who has given me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. So, okay, the reality is we're probably going to all face death unless Christ returns quickly, and I'm hoping for that. But do we fear it? Not if we know Christ. Oh, I fear the pain and I hate being sick and ill and all the things and all that goes with it. But you know what? Spiritually, I don't fear it. I have Christ on my side. He's in my corner. And so as I look at that, it's like, wow, that changes my perspective. Because Christ is my future. And I will be glorified. That's just the next step. How exciting. Notice how the gospel, past, present, future. I know those are basics. I know I've preached them how many times over the past number of weeks? Well, guess what? They're so joyous, we're going to keep going over them again because they're what we need to remember, what Christ has done for us. And I would submit to you, that's what Peter has said in this 7th verse of the 2nd chapter. Is Jesus precious to you? Do you remember that he set you free from sin? The penalty of your sin. He has set you free from having to sin now. And he has assured you of living eternally with your Father in heaven. How wonderful is that? Is he precious to you? I think that's what Peter is saying. Therefore, to you who believe, Jesus is precious. You see, by rehearsing these gospel truths again and again, Jesus becomes precious. Think of your life in Christ. He's the source of your life. He's your hope for the future. And he's your hope in having all your sins forgiven. And so when we live without reality, and I would submit, when you look at this logic that Peter is doing in 1 Peter chapter 2, look at it. Put away all these bad things, the malice and the deceit and the hypocrisy. Now, like newborn infants, you got a hold of the gospel. You're like little babies now. Long for that pure spiritual milk. Ah, this is my past, my present, and my future in Jesus. Whew. And now, and then you're being put into Christ priesthood. You're like a temple being built up, and you're just one of the pieces that God's using for His glory. And so, remember, Jesus is a stumbling block to a lot of people, but to you who believe, He's really precious. Do you get the logic that Peter's driving there? That, my brothers and sisters, is how we live with an attitude of blessing. Because I don't know about you, but I get up in the morning and my elbow hurts really bad right now. And that's the first thing on my mind, the pain. Mac, your legs, they get you, don't they? Pat, your back. And we could have a wonderful shopping list here. No, we live in this present reality that isn't always pleasant. And we need to come back to, my Jesus is precious. That's Peter's argument, I think. That we need to remember Jesus often. We need to remember Him every day. And when we do, we will now put on the attitude of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ in when I'm suffering, when I'm a husband, when I'm a wife, when I'm a citizen, when I'm fill in the blank. You remember how all the different areas that we talked about? That's what Peter is driving you and I to. You see, we will be believers who are ambassadors because we remember the preciousness of Christ. Think about, we already talked about it once, how precious God promised Abraham was. God promised Abraham, Genesis 12, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land I'll show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Here's the question. Inventory time. I'm serious about this. Sit down and write this out this afternoon. Do an inventory. Take a look over the past week. How much of a blessing were you to those around you? Work, family, neighborhood? Grade yourself. Get serious. Even better, part of what missional community, I know there'll be a group of you this afternoon that'll gather. You'll talk this openly among yourselves and challenge one another. You know, I really blew it this week. I forgot who God was, and I became God. And boy, I stomped around the office like all creation should bow down to me. We've never done that, right? But notice how when we begin to start thinking in gospel terms, we're able to go back and we're able to realize, hold it, I'm a child of Abraham. I am called to bless others because God blessed me through Jesus Christ, the descendant of Abraham who is set me free from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and He will allow me to live with Him forever. You see how precious Christ becomes? It's this type of thinking. So do an inventory. Take a look. How would you describe your worship of Jesus this week? Pull out your day timer, or now it's your phone. Look at your calendar. How did you do it? Get personal. Bring it to your family. Moms, dads, how did you intentionally bless your family members? Now, you can't use the excuse, their family, they have to put up with me. That's not an excuse for your sin. You were called to bless. Or your neighbor, and that's workplace, your neighborhood, your school. I don't care where you, what circles you're in, it's your circle. Do that inventory. And then remember your identity in Christ. God created me for relationship with Him. Because of Jesus, I have been restored in that relationship. I'm not cast out of the garden. I'm now called back. I'm in relationship with God, and He gives me His Spirit that I might be a blessing to others. I can walk as a redeemed, forgiven member of His family. I can walk as a missionary, and He empowers me by the strength of His Holy Spirit so I can speak boldly. Because I have Christ in me. And I get to serve others even when they're not worth serving because I sure wasn't worth saving, but God saved me. You see how this mentality carries through? Now, if you're like I am, you forget these things. I forget them on a regular basis. Look around you. Yeah, look at these people. I know they're not all pretty. Some are pretty.
this is the people that God gave you to help you remember this. Look at what the author of Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. He says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Talking about Jesus, right? "And so now let us consider how we might stir one another up to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near." What's he saying? I saved you and I placed you in a family, God's family. You're brothers and sisters and you got a job. Kick one another in the backside to keep Jesus precious. Yeah, I know, that's a bad paraphrase. But that's the point, is that you need to remind me that I'm not God sometimes. You need to remind me when I get angry and bitter that I think I'm God and I pulled God off the throne and put Mark on the throne, and that's not the gospel, is it? And we can work that, and we live that in one another's lives, and you can do that, and we can do that with one another because Ephesians 1:6, I'm accepted in the Beloved. And so I'm not too worried about that because I can go back to Jesus and he is my hope and he's my righteousness. And so that's where these bless rhythms come in. And today we're looking at bless. We have been blessed by God in amazing ways because of Jesus Christ. And we are now called to be a blessing. In the coming weeks, we'll look at listen, eat, speak, and Sabbath. And we'll learn more about those. So, this is not a sit back and listen message. Now, students, please pull out your homework. It's in your bulletin. You think I'm joking? I'm not. I'm serious. There will be a test next week. Your elders will be standing up front next week, and you're going to give a report. You think I'm joking? I'm serious. Try me. I mean it. Here's your job, your homework for this week. You are going to bless others. Start daily by remembering your identity in Christ. Not complicated, is it? Go back to the gospel. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Jesus is my holiness and my righteousness. Two, pray. Start every day. Pray continually without ceasing, is how Paul puts it. Pray continually that you might live in your identity in Christ as part of the family of God, sent on mission out to serve others, to bless others. And then think intentionally. Part of the ending of your prayer is, I love doing this, and I started doing this years ago with Practicing the Presence of God, a book that was written by a monk. But people would come up, and I would just quietly go, okay, Lord, I don't know how to answer this person or deal with them because I'm scared to death of them. Help me bless them. Simple as that. Prayer. That's practicing the presence of God. Think intentionally. How can I, because you redeemed me, Lord, because I'm accepted in you, how do I now bless this person? How can I be a blessing because I'm a child of Abraham by faith? Thank you, God. Let me bless others. And so that's key. Here's some great questions to ask yourself. How am I going to worship Jesus today? The beginning of the day, start with that. Zondra, you're going to Boeing. How are you going to bless others? Oh, some days it's like, there's no way I can. Yes, there is. We all live in tough situations. You may need a brother or sister to come alongside and help encourage you. In your family. Oh, you don't understand my family right now. It's like, ugh. How can you be a blessing? Because of what Jesus has done for you. And with neighbor, workplace, wherever, I don't care. Fill it in. I want you to record daily. It's in your bulletin. These lines, I want to see them next week. You think I'm teasing? I'm not. We're literally going to, at the beginning of the service, we're going to stop. We're going to share how you got to be a blessing, a few of you. Because you know what happens? Too often we come here and y'all go, oh yeah, great sermon, Pastor. And then you go off and I go, what did I preach on? Oh. You know, there's some days I even forget the next day what I preached on. Because I'm not intentional about what I learn. This is how we're going to do it. And so I challenge you, let it be a blessing to the saints next week. Oh, let me tell you how God opened this door. I couldn't believe it. You will be amazed what God will do. Let's do that next week, the beginning of worship. I've already told Derek he's going to come up front with me. Guess what, Dan? You're coming up too. in. Come on. You'll be up here next week too. We're going to stand up front and we're going to ask and listen for blessing reports. And we'll keep doing that as we go through these other rhythms, because this is why Christ redeemed us, that we might be a blessing to others.